Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel lesson. He put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. So, how the law manifests itself in our world is that we share the suffering. And you can point to plenty of people in this world where you would say, now what exactly did they ever do? But we share this condemnation under the law. And so, the effects of the law are scattered through humanity. Some suffering in one way, others in another. And we have a story about the bringing a deaf man to Jesus. And you know there's going to be a few comments about deafness, right? Helen Keller once was asked whether she would rather be blind or deaf if she had to choose one sight or one sense that she would have to do without. And she said, or rather, she fingerspelled into somebody's hand. She said that she would rather be blind. Because she said, blindness cuts you off from things, deafness cuts you off from people. And then you magnify that because think of a deaf man not able to hear the word of God because there wasn't sign language in those days, was there? Think of a deaf man feeling himself not only cut off from family and friends, but also cut off from God. How's he to know God? How's he to understand? How's he to hear? How is he to share in the grace and the mercy that were poured out on the people of Israel? He has no clue about all of these things except that he watches some of them happen. The law. Those unable to hear the gospel and, oh, now we are talking about a whole bunch of humanity, aren't we? Unable to hear the gospel because it's not only the ears that cut us off from the gospel, it's the heart. The heart that is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, turns away from God and refuses to listen and wanders off its own way. So the law. The law of God, the judgment, the condemnation. Condemnation on all who have sinned and all who have descended from those first parents who sinned. The law sweeps through humanity, separating us from God. It's not that somebody else is suffering for their sin, unconnected, disconnected from us. It's my sin that the deaf man that day suffers with. It's your sin. It's a thing that we share together. If you want to understand sin, well, look inside or look at your neighbor. If you look at your neighbor and you see your neighbor sinning, well, go say thank you. Thank you for being such a wonderful mirror so that I can see my own nature. Because we share this whole stuff together. What's to be done? They bring the man to Jesus, and Jesus does some actions that are frankly intrusive and maybe uncomfortable. They make you feel uneasy. Yeah, let's try some of these out. See? Oh, you didn't expect that, did you?
No.
Okay, that was the first thing he did. That was the first thing he did. Did you hear the gospel lesson?
Yeah, I did hear the gospel lesson.
What's the next thing he did? And then? We won't go there, will we? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. This is exactly the point I wanted to get across, because this is an intrusive healer. He doesn't stand back and do the healing from a safe distance. He doesn't prescribe pills. He puts his fingers on the man's ears. What is this? Deaf man's got to be going, what? You saw the picture in the front of the bulletin, didn't you? Okay. And then he takes and spits and puts his fingers on the man's tongue. What's going on here? Now, first off, the ears, because the deafness, and he's going to heal that. Second, the tongue. And as I talked about this with my wife, she informed me again what it means for a person to grow up with their first number of years without language, and after a certain point, you don't get that language. The time has passed, and it's very, very difficult to pick it up later on. I'm told that those who go deaf later in life, if they think of getting a cochlear implant, the doctors say, do it now if you have become deaf. Because if you let it go for a certain number of years, the doctors say, your brain forgets to hear, forgets what it is to hear, and it doesn't do you that much good because your brain doesn't take in and translate those sounds, etc., etc., etc. And the man who was healed of his deafness, what did it say when he was healed? He heard and he spoke plainly. What did Jesus do there? And so the wife says, and among our pastors for the deaf, they will make a big point of this and say that what Jesus did is he gave language to that man who didn't have language. It wasn't just that he was unable to make the sounds. He did not have language. And now he spoke plainly. Well, I can name another instance where God gives language to some people, and that would be the apostles on Pentecost. And once again, thank you. Thank you. It's great when somebody gives you exactly the right reaction. And now you get a pass for at least a year.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. So the language is put in place. The man speaks plainly. And just this week as I'm looking through this, something different strikes me. And it is the intrusiveness. Fingers in the ears. Fingers on the tongue. If that isn't bad enough, then Jesus looks up to heaven. You know what he's doing there? With one sigh, he brings together all of the longing, all of the unformed prayers of that deaf man, brings it all together and expresses it. You know, it's one thing to have somebody come and stick the fingers in your ears. It's even worse. Second one. But, think of the deaf man looking and saying, what, are you inside my brain? You're right there inside my thoughts. You're inside my soul. What is this? We've been going through the Gospel of John in our Tuesday morning Bible study and talking about Jesus as the one who looks you in the eye and tells you what's in your soul. He's intrusive. And it's uncomfortable for people to come face to face with him and know he's seeing right inside my thoughts and he's seeing inside my brain. And it would be terribly uncomfortable, wouldn't it? Except for who he is. Does he have the right to be there inside our thoughts? Does he have the right to be there inside our soul? Yeah, he does. He's God. You come and you pray to him, and don't form your words as if you can convince Jesus that you were thinking one thing when you're thinking something else. That would be foolish. He knows what's inside. That's why Job in the Old Testament had to be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm angry at you. Because how was he to hide it? Jesus is the intrusive healer. Goes right inside of us. Well, that's where we need him, isn't it? It's not only the ears, it's not only the tongue, it is inside the soul, inside the heart, inside every thought that we have, and he steps in there. Uncomfortable. So facing this Jesus, what are we to do? We come to church and we begin by being honest and confessing sins. What else are we to do standing in front of him? That's what we are, and he knows it already. So, I'm a sinner. And he is the one that it's safe to do that with because this intrusive healer goes right to where we need him most. There was something that was running around on Facebook that said, I'm going to paraphrase, come to Jesus for wealth, health, and prosperity? No. Come to Jesus for Jesus. That's what we need. And so the deaf man stands before God, who knows him inside and out and knows every prayer, every doubt, every frantic crying out to heaven. And now he's here. The one who has heard all along stands in front of him, brings healing on the surface, and brings healing in the soul. And the deaf man learns that that's exactly who he needs. Let's go a few more steps on the idea of intrusive. The saying is, God is in his heaven, and all is well with the earth. Wait a minute. Keep God at a distance, and everything will be fine. No, that's not how it's supposed to sound, is it? But there is a little bit of that flavor in it. God in his heaven? No. God in Bethlehem. God in a stable. God in a manger. God out in the wilderness, sharing our hunger and our thirst. God in a boat on the lake, sharing our fatigue and falling asleep. God standing outside a tomb, sharing our tears. He's the intrusive healer. But there's more. God hanging from a cross, sharing our sin. I don't know if we want him there, do we? Sharing our sin. I'd rather come before God and have something other than desperately wicked being the description of me. But no, he's the intrusive healer that in order to heal, he's going to go to the cross. And that's where I need him. The cross and the empty tomb. This intrusive healer that is not just going to take care of the problems of life, of the physical body, and all of the troubles that come with age and illness, but God who takes the very nature, the stuff of being human, takes my humanness and decides to change it, carries my humanness to the cross to receive the judgment that I deserved there, takes my humanness to the tomb and is sealed in the tomb, and then on the third day rises from the dead, and this is the one I need. And I need for him to be intrusive. I need for him to not back off. No matter what parts of my life I think I want to keep as my own, no matter what parts of my life I would rather not have under the microscope of God's law, I need for Jesus to be intrusive and to keep coming and keep coming until he has dealt with all of it and has taken me and changed me. Until that day when his work is done, then I get to stand before him and be amazed that I've learned the language of heaven. And all of my thoughts and all of everything inside of me has been transformed and healed by what he has done. And that's what I need him to be, and he promises to be that. In Jesus' name, amen.